Today, I want to share with you the importance of making choices. Say that with me. Make good choices. Now, the truth is, whether you like it or not, we make thousands of decisions every day. I was shocked. You Google the internet, you find out. In fact, they say the older you get, the more choices you have to make. Let's think about food. Okay, are you not thinking? Where will you eat today? See, you have many choices. What will you eat? Are you not thinking? Okay, those are choices. You all know I like fish. So when you say fish, I have to think, what kind of fish? Lapu-lapu, sea bass, black cod, bangus, what kind of fish? And then tilapia, and then you think, how will it be cooked? Steamed, fried, grilled, sweet and sour? Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All kinds. Now, you want to order coffee. What will you order? Cappuccino, Americano, Express, coffee latte. Oh, now this is an amazing decision-making process. Coke. You order Coke. They will ask you, what kind? Ang dami palang choices. You have Coke Light. You have Diet. You have Classic. And I know, I cannot even pronounce that term. Then you have Coke Lime, Coke Orange. This father, grandfather, was so shocked because he didn't realize there were so many kinds of Coke. Then he said, oh, sige anak, tubig na lang. Mineral, distilled. Sparkling. You see, choices, choices. Now, there are choices that are simple, no major consequences. But there are choices in life that is more important. For example, what career? Where will you live? Will you get married or will you not get married? Whom you will marry? Now, those are important decisions. But Jesus is about to tell us today, you are going to seriously consider the most important decision of your life. And what is that decision? Everybody read. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Before I explain this verse, I want you to know from Matthew 7:13 to Matthew 23, that whole series of verses, the whole theme is this. Not everyone, everybody read. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, Jesus wants all of us to consider and make a very important decision. My topic today is this. Everybody, be sure of your salvation. Why is this crucial? Do you know why this is crucial? Because Jesus tells us, someday, many of us will be shocked. Because in your mind, you think you are going to heaven. In your mind, you may think you are a Christian. So I'm going to share with you some of the most important neglected Bible verses taught by Jesus. And this is what we'll discuss this morning. Why is this important? The Bible tells us, everybody, let's read. Test yourselves. Don't test others. Don't judge others. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. If you are a real follower of Jesus or not. Examine yourselves. Notice, don't examine other people. This is not for you to judge others. This is today's message, is you look at your own life. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test? So there is nothing wrong with making sure you are a follower of Jesus. So what's the topic today? Be sure of your salvation. Why is that important? Let me repeat. Certain choices are trivial. Certain choices are crucial. Certain choices have short-term consequences. Some choices have long-term consequences. This particular passage deals with eternal consequences. You are not going to mess this up. What do I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, assuming Jesus is not true, assuming the Bible is not true, and you follow Jesus, what have you got to lose? Nothing. You experience joy, wonderful family. However, if the Bible is true, Jesus is true, and you go on your life living what you like to live, your lifestyle, you choose your own lifestyle, and Jesus is true, and you don't end up with Him for eternity, damnation and hell, you think it's worth it? You see, I tell people, I will not force anybody to believe. I don't force anybody to follow Jesus. I will just tell you what Jesus is saying. And I'm going to tell you something. This is probably the most important message you will hear in your life. Be sure of your salvation. All right, let's understand those verses together. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, together. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter it. There are many who enter through it. He now gives you a command. This is a command. Enter. Why? Because Jesus will never assume His people belong to Him. So He's saying, now that you have heard the lifestyle of a true Christian, you make sure you're one. So enter through it. He now tells them there are two doors, the narrow and the wide. Two gates. There are two ways, the broad way, the easy way, and the narrow way. The word narrow comes from the Greek word stenos. You have the word stenography, shorthand, because it is not exactly easy. And then he tells us, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. What does that mean? I'm going to explain to you in a short while. And then he compares the other gate. The gate is small and the way is narrow. Again, you have the word steno, that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Notice, everybody. Choices. Two gates. Two doors. Two ways. The narrow and the broad. Two destination, life, destruction. Is this something important? Let me tell you why you must listen to this. The word destruction in the Bible does not mean annihilation. For example, this will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. So the word destruction does not mean you lose your senses. You just disappear. The word destruction simply means loss of well-being. It is describing, example, a nice piece of cloth and it's torn. You lost your original design, loss of well-being. The Bible says, away from the presence of the Lord. You were designed by God for God. But because you choose to do it your way, the Bible says, eternal destruction, loss of well-being and from the glory of His power. So, let me give an example in the Bible. The loss of well-being. The Bible gives us many examples taught by Jesus that after death, listen to me, after death, life continues on. CCF, we have many funeral services every week. You won't believe this because there are thousands of us. Family members die. And I visit, almost impossible to visit all wake services. So I praise God for D groups. I praise God for pastors because that's how we help one another. But listen to me. When you see somebody on the casket, you will think that person is gone. He's not gone. Jesus tells us the story of a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man died. And guess what happened? This is the story. When the rich man died, the Bible tells us he was in a place. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. The word Hades does not yet mean hell, but it is a place that will be sent to hell also. But I'm not going to talk about that now. I'm going to talk about after you die, it is not the end. You know why? Look, everybody read. This man who died can speak. He cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus." He knows Lazarus. You can recognize. "So that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. I am in agony in this flame." In other words, after death, you can feel. The Bible talks about two places. God or away from the presence of God. This is away from the presence of God. And the Bible tells us the reply from heaven is this. "Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gap, a great chasm fixed, that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, that none may cross over from there to us." In other words, according to Jesus, after death, your eternal destiny is sealed. Don't ever be deceived into thinking after you die, there is still a chance. Don't ever be deceived by people because God loves you. Do you understand the message of Jesus? Jesus wants you to be with Him. That's why He says, enter the narrow gate. You got to look at the heart of God. He loves you. He's saying, I want you to think through life. You make decision today because after you die, that's it. So ladies and gentlemen, death does not mean annihilation. Life continues. That's why He tells us, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. Now, how come the gate is so narrow, the way is so narrow that leads to life? Have you ever thought about it? In your life, you have to realize two gates, two roads, two ways. The wide way, eventually leading to destruction, and the narrow way. Why is that way so narrow? Let me give you three reasons why it is so narrow. Why this is important to know. Number one, the reason it is so narrow, because there is only one way to enter heaven. Only one way. You know, in the whole world, people will say, you know, don't be so narrow, don't be so dogmatic. There are many ways to heaven. Like, all roads lead to Rome. You know, we have that saying, don't be so narrow, don't be judgmental. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not the one saying it. According to Jesus, let's read this together, it's so narrow. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Why is it so narrow? Answer, because Jesus said, "I am the way." He did not say, "I am one of the way." He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." No one, notice, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, either this is true or this is not true. Let me repeat. You can never say all religions are the same, because they are contradictory to each other. Because Jesus said, "I am the way." So either He's telling the truth or He's not telling the truth. But don't ever say all religions are the same. You got to make a choice. Either He's the only way or He's not. Because truth is very exclusive. Truth is very narrow. My favorite illustration. Everybody, 4 times 4. Excuse me, you know math. 4 times 4. Are you sure? Why not 15? Why not 15.5? Why not 16.1? Why must it be 4 times 4 is 16? There are infinite numbers. Why are you insisting it has to be 16? Because truth is narrow. It excludes. If Manila is the capital of the Philippines, it cannot be Quezon City, it cannot be Baguio, it cannot be Davao, because truth is exclusive. If Jesus is the only way, it's exclusive. That's what He's saying. So don't have fussy thinking. Why is he the only way? Because the Bible says all of us are sinners. There is no other provision for sin apart from the death of Jesus and his resurrection. Notice Acts 4:12. Everybody please read. There is salvation in no one else. Everybody read. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Notice, there is salvation in no one else. So please, when you read the Bible, you have always two choices, to believe it or to explain it your way. That's why Jesus tells us, enter through the narrow gate. Why? It is so narrow. It is so narrow. You cannot bring in extra luggages. You know why? You got to enter through Christ. When we say narrow, it means narrow versus broad. The broad way is very easy. You believe whatever you want to believe. It's okay. You don't have to change. Just be sincere. You go to heaven. That's the broad way. The narrow way is different. You know why? The narrow way requires humility. For example, let's read this together. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Do you notice? The Bible tells us the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus, and it is by grace. By grace, you have been saved through faith. You have to be humble, because going to heaven, it cannot be your way. It has to be God's way, but it's gracious. But then this is where people have problem. The reason why it's so narrow, because grace will change your heart. Grace will change your life. Salvation is free. But once you come to Christ, it will change you dramatically. What's my proof? On the same book, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it talks about salvation is by grace. On the same book, Ephesians, it tells you why it is narrow. Because grace requires repentance. Let me read this to you. Please read. For this you know, everybody, with certainty. No immoral or impure person or covetous who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Notice, we are saved by grace. But then he says, grace is never alone. It will transform you. Then he warns you, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of this, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So the Bible tells us, it's narrow. Why? Because salvation is through Christ alone, by grace, but grace involves repentance. Look at what the Bible tells us. This is the gospel preached by the Bible, by the Apostle Paul, testifying to both Jews and Greeks. Everybody read, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you got to understand, repentance simply means you change direction. You change your mind about yourself, about your sin. You change. And you begin to follow Jesus. It does not mean you will never sin. It doesn't say that. The Bible knows. As you begin to follow Jesus, you may fall into sin. That's not what it is saying. It's saying, what is the direction of your life? I'm going to show you verses. That's why it's narrow. It is so narrow because it requires repentance and transformation. What do I mean? Let's read this together. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Okay, so the grace of God through Jesus. Look, continue. Instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, and to live righteously and godly in the present age. The very grace of God will now give you the desire and the power to live righteously. Let me repeat. The grace of God means I cannot earn salvation. I'm a sinner. I praise God for Jesus. He died for me. Now that He's in my heart, in my life, He now gives me a new desire. He now gives me a new power. And that's why Christianity is so amazing. It is so narrow, only through Christ. It is so narrow because it requires complete what? Complete surrender to Jesus. You are now beginning to understand. You and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together. Do you know salvation is free, but it will cost you everything? Let me repeat. It is so narrow, only through Christ. It is so narrow because you need to surrender all. Many of us want to come to God based on our terms. Let me share with you what it means to follow Jesus. Let's read this together. He was saying to them, Jesus was saying to his disciples, please read together. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The gate is so narrow. You deny yourself. You follow Jesus. Be careful when false teachers begin to tell you, you come to Christ and it doesn't matter how you live. Anyway, you are saved already. You will never find that in the Bible. In fact, Jesus warns us in these few lessons. You know, I'm reminded of so many Christians who are deceived, just like the Israelites. Look, the Bible tells us in the days of Israel, in those days, there was no king. Everybody read. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's happening today. Today, we make up our God. We make up our own religion. That's why people don't like to read the Bible. How will you know the will of God? People don't care. They follow their own desire. Can you imagine? You want to follow Jesus. At the same time, you want to follow yourself. You make yourself king. And you call yourself, I call myself a Christian. If I don't want to follow Jesus, is that logical? That's why Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. It's a command. Don't admire the teaching of the Sermon of the Mount. Don't admire the gate. Don't view the gate. He says, enter. Don't just admire Jesus. Don't just admire his teachings. Enter. Follow Jesus. You know, today, the example is all about rich people. I don't know why, but that's how God orchestrated the message today. Okay? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Remember the story of this young ruler? He was so rich. At the same time, he thought of eternity. So, he began to see Jesus. A ruler. The Bible describes him as rich. Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Do you understand his question? And then Jesus answered, okay, Jesus. Now, everybody look at me. The question was good. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus is a master teacher. So Jesus told him, all right. Remember, Jesus is a master teacher. He knows the heart of this guy. He knows mayabang ito. He knows this guy was rich. He knows this guy was proud. This guy was self-righteous. So Jesus tested him. You know all the commandments, do you? So Jesus gave him a sample of the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, you have the first few commandments that deals with God and the last few commandments that deals with human relationship. Jesus dealt with the last few commandments that deals with human relationship. So Jesus said, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And you know what this man said? I did all of that. I did all of that. What else must I do? So Jesus now went to the first commandment. What is the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Love God. Remember? Put God first. So when Jesus was going to teach this guy a lesson, he never made the standards lower. Do you understand? The entrance to the kingdom of heaven is so narrow. He does not lower the standard. So he tells this guy. When he heard this, Jesus said to him, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack." Let's read. "Sell all that you possess and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Sell everything and you follow me. This rich man, when he heard this, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. You see, Jesus knew that the God of this man was money. And because his God was money, it is preventing him. Remember, when you enter the narrow gate, you let go of everything. You cannot bring another God with you. If man is your God, if sin is your God, whatever baggage you have, you let go. You enter the narrow gate. So this guy had a problem. He was sad. Why? He chose money over Jesus. Now I'll give you another story in the same, almost the same chapter. Another rich man. But this time the ending is different. It's the story of a super rich man also. It's the story of Zacchaeus. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means pure, innocent. The father wanted him pure. He was, everybody read, a chief tax collector. And he was rich. My goodness, this guy was rich. But there was a problem. Zacchaeus, even though he had money, he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd. He was small in stature. You see, Zacchaeus had a hunger. He wanted to see Jesus. You have to understand the predicament of Zacchaeus. He was rich, but he felt empty. He knew something was wrong. He wanted to see Jesus. Can you imagine Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus? But he had a problem. He could not see Jesus. Why? Because of the crowd. You know, many times you're not able to see Jesus because of the crowd. There's a Chinese saying, you know, because of the crowd. Kua lang puato. In Tagalog, pagtingin sa tao, natutumba ka. In English, you stumble because of people. Many of us cannot see Jesus. You know why? Because of the crowd. Many of you, when you see Christian, Christian, no, I don't like. Don't stumble because of people. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. Why? Because of the crowd. Have you ever stumbled because of the crowd? I remember my father years ago. He said, "I don't like Christianity." I said, "Why?" "Because they keep asking me for money, they borrow money, they don't pay me back." Wow. When I heard that from my father, you got to remember, your behavior reflects. So my prayer, in your prayer, let us make sure we honor the Lord. So Zacchaeus had a problem. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. Okay, so can you imagine this rich man running? Have you seen a rich man running with barong and you know? I mean, the guy doesn't mind. He was hungry for Jesus. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, now this is the shock of Zacchaeus' life. He was so shocked. You know why? Because when Jesus reached the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. Today I must stay at your house." I want you to imagine now. Here was this man who wanted to see Jesus, and he got the shock of his life. It was Jesus who wanted to see him. "Zacchaeus." The guy was thinking, how did he know my name? I'm a sinner. And then said, "Come down. I want to go and visit you and have dinner with you." That is the context. "I want to be with you." And you know what? I praise God. Zacchaeus hurried, came down, and received him gladly. He was rich. And when the people saw what was happening, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." You see the problem with Pharisees? Judging others. I remember years ago, there was a lady who came to CCF. She is from this high-class society. She came to worship wearing backless. It was her first time. And I saw people, "Why would Pastor Peter allow that girl to come?" Excuse me. This place is for sinners. Amen? So why do you forbid people from coming? She's a young person beginning to know the Lord. But today, I tell you, when you see her, she's like a nun, you know? When the way she wears clothes, naging extreme. But I never made that an issue. You know, some people come here, okay? It's their first time. They don't know. Listen to me. If you're our guest, we love you. We welcome you. It doesn't matter. We just request. Okay? We just request you. Everybody, when you see somebody, all of you, I know all of you have certain favorite places. I know. I know where you sit. I know where you all sit. My advice is this. That is now yours, okay? So if you see anybody that is sitting around you that's new, you don't know them, what must you do? You are now the official ushers and welcomer of CCF. You say, "Welcome." You see anybody around you, understand? So wherever you are, it's okay. But every time you see a new face, what must you do? Welcome. "This is my name, and what's your name?" Welcome. "How can I pray for you?" Yeah. "Would you like to know the Lord? What did you think of the message? Did it make sense to you? Understand?" So that is now your official designation. You are the official welcomer. Amen? So it's okay to protect that seat, but if somebody sits there, just sit beside. Understand? And just welcome them. Anyway, Zacchaeus was shocked. And Zacchaeus, notice, we don't know exactly what happened. Nice conversation with Jesus. And Jesus and Zacchaeus tells Jesus now, "You do not know what they discuss. Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times." You must know, a tax collector as a rule, except maybe in the Philippines, as a rule, in the time of Jesus, they over-collect. That's how they make money. Anything they collect over and above the quota is theirs. You know what Zacchaeus said? "I will return the money. Four times. Half of my possession, I give to the poor." You know what Jesus said? "Today, salvation has come to this house." You see, my friend, you come to Jesus, the way is narrow. There is transformation. There is repentance. You cannot come to Christ and not change. Jesus never asked Zacchaeus, "Sell everything." No, because Jesus knew the heart of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is committed to follow Jesus. Even if they make fun of him, many people don't realize Zacchaeus became a bishop. He became a servant of the Lord. What will change a man? Today, I want you to hear a story. A CCFer who came to know the Lord and how his life was changed. Let's welcome Mark.
"Ever since I was young, I saw how my parents work hard to make both ends meet. We were cramped up in a small 20-square-meter room we were renting when we were moved from Tacloban to Davao. As the eldest child, I was in charge in doing the laundry, ironing, and cooking for my younger siblings when my parents were away for work. My mom would ride the bus from Davao to Tacloban to sell packed chorizos, and my dad would travel to another city for his job. I was a typical eldest child with dreams of being able to help my family. Growing up, I started to have peers who influenced me to drink, smoke, and get into group fights because it made me feel cool. But despite of these peer influences, I never flunked my class. In November 2002, I passed the board exam in civil engineering. In my first job as a structural engineer, we had a supplier who invited us to Manila for a product presentation. The next day, the client invited us to go to CCF St. Francis. It was my first time to attend a Christian church. During the service, I felt like the middle-aged Chinese pastor was directly talking to me. His message penetrated into my heart. At the end of the service, he asked us to stand to pray, and unknowingly, tears were rolling from my eyes. Upon returning home to Davao, I started attending CCF there and also volunteered my skills as an engineer. However, my relationship with the Lord did not grow deeper. At the age of 25, I was appointed by a huge company as the project manager of a multi-billion project and to oversee the construction site. This is when I learned to compromise. Contractors will take me out to bars to bribe me to award projects to them and fast-track their billings. Money and power enticed me. I easily earned my first million at a very young age. Knowing that I have more than enough savings and experience, I resigned from my work to pursue my dream of putting up my own design and build company. In that same year, I married my girlfriend and became a father year after. On our third year in the construction industry, my partner and I became involved with government projects. We practiced every kind of deceit, cutting corners, and bribing. We would not pay the right taxes. We would falsify the quantity of materials needed for a project. And then we would easily bribe the inspector for his signature without having to inspect the site. We were able to get contracts through connections without proper bidding procedures and accreditations. Bribing and compromising became normal because everybody was doing it. Because of these transactions, our business started to earn more and more. But despite the success I was experiencing, I never had peace of mind. I could hardly sleep at night because of the burden I carried as a CEO. I rarely had time for my family because all I thought about was our business and money. In October 2015, my wife and I were invited by one of our clients to attend a CCF couples retreat. I had no intention of attending because I thought I could not afford the time. But the couple who invited us were very intentional, and eventually, we agreed to attend. Hearing the testimonies of messages of the pastors was an eye-opener for me. After the retreat, I started to devote my prayer and time, reading and meditating on the scripture so I could understand God's direction for me. In one of my quiet time, I felt convicted after reading this message. In Proverbs 16:8, better a little with virtue than a large income with injustice. I cried out to God for forgiveness in deepest sincerity, and I prayed to him, Jesus, Lord, forgive me for not living your way. I know that I am bringing dirty food in my home. Come into my heart and lead me on the path you have for me. After that, I called my business partner so we could end all our illegitimate business transactions. He was doubtful, but the grace of God he did not resist. It was tough at first knowing our expenses and knowing that our income has reduced. The process was both difficult and humbling. At some point of my Christian walk, a client even said to me, "Walang Christian-Christian sa negosyo." This broke my heart, knowing that person is also a fellow Christian. This experience taught me that not all proclaiming to be Christians are genuine in their faith, and some live double lives. But God proved himself faithful. He provided enough cash flow to cover the company's expenses. In that season, I learned what it means to obey his word and to trust him in any circumstance. Walking with God has been such an amazing journey. I regularly commune with Him. He is my first and the last appointment each day of my life. I now know that God gave me gifts as a builder, that my business is a platform for His glory. So I am building to my very best, clinging to His words in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord rather than for men. He has provided us with a family of believers who encourages us in our walk. By His grace, I am now being used to bring others to an understanding of forgiveness and love. The more I seek to know Christ, the more I trust Him. The more I love God, the more I am faithful to Him. And because I am faithful to Christ, I am faithful to my wife, my children, my business partner, to my work, and my friends. I have not perfected my walk with the Lord. I am still a work in progress, and I hang on to God's promises to walk me through the process. I am aware that from time to time, God will put me in the furnace like a blacksmith, hammering the sword until impurities will fall off. And all He can see is His reflection on the sword that is me. It is always my heart, my character, the Lord examines. When time comes, I will ultimately stand before the throne of grace. I hope the Lord will say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I am Mark Seed Ferraz, a steward, a husband, a father, a follower of Christ who happens to be a builder. To God be all the glory.
You know, Jesus gives us a warning. The warning is this: beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You see, the Apostle Paul warns us also. Paul says, after my departure, people within you, they become false prophets. So how will you know if the prophets are true or false? Friends, you look at their lives. The Bible tells us, you examine. Jude 4. Jude is the brother of Jesus. He wrote the following: for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons, everybody read, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. When you turn the gospel, the good news of Jesus, salvation is by grace, not works, and you make that as a license to sin, my friend, you are following the broad way. That is not the narrow way. So do not deceive yourself into thinking, because I have Jesus, I have raised my hand, therefore I'm going to heaven, and it does not matter how I live. That is entirely wrong. I remember my friend who was a pastor, and he told me his story about his son. He said his son came back from college one time. Now, you have to understand, in the United States, when people reach college age, they leave home. Now, I don't agree with it, but what can I do? These are Americans, and they follow their culture. And then one Christmas, he came back home. He said, "Daddy, I really enjoy college life." "Why?" "Well, you know, the drinking, the partying, the womanizing." When the father heard it, the father said, "Are you a Christian?" And his son looked at him. "Of course, Daddy, I'm a Christian." And the father said, "How do you know you're a Christian?" "Daddy, when I was 12 years old, I raised my hand. I went forward. I got baptized." The father said, "Wrong answer. That's not how you know you are a Christian. You see, many people think, if I raise my hand, I went forward, I stood up, I'm a Christian." Friends, Look at what Jesus is telling us. You will know them, everybody read. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Thistles is a kind of plant with flower. He's saying, they are not grapes. They look like grapes, but they're not grapes. Everybody read. Every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. Jesus is telling us, use your common sense. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, everybody read, so then you will know them by their fruits. Well, 1 year later, the son came back from college. He was very angry because the father said, you are not a Christian. He was so angry with his father. But 1 year later, he came back. Dad, I understand what you are saying now. I am now a follower of Jesus. His life was changed. He understood to be a Christian means what? You follow Jesus. He was transformed. And I believe many of you are here today because God wants you to hear this message. Coming to Jesus is grace. You don't earn it. However, because of grace, your life will begin to change. Like Mark. Mark's life slowly but surely was transformed to the point where he was willing to give up material blessings for the sake of putting God first. And God is amazing. He looks at your heart. So, what do we mean? By their fruit, you will know them. Look at what the Bible says. Everybody read. By this we know we have come to know Jesus, if we keep his commandments. So how can you be sure your salvation is sure? How can you be sure of your salvation? Number one, come to Jesus. How can you be sure? There must be repentance. It does not mean you will never sin. The surrender. And then your lifestyle. What's your lifestyle? Look, by this we know you have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So, is your lifestyle obedience? The one who says, I have come to know him, grammatically, the one who keeps talking, I know Jesus, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. That's the grammar. And does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. As I said, I don't judge people. You judge yourself. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are very obvious. Everybody read. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not from God. The one who does not love his brother. In other words, by your life, that's the evidence. What is your lifestyle? Is it moving towards God? Do you do your best to obey God? It does not mean you will not fail, but should you fail, do you get up? Or do you say, you know what, I'm saved already. Since I'm saved already, it doesn't matter how I live. I remember my wife counseling this lady, and she told my wife, I'm going to leave my husband. I'm going to get involved with this guy. And my wife said, excuse me, why are you leaving your husband? I'm no longer happy. My wife said, why are you going to do that? Well, you know, God knows me. God wants me to be happy, and I'm not happy. You see, this girl has invented a God of her own. In her mind, her God is according to her ideas. My friend, Jesus is saying, enter that narrow gate. The gate is so narrow. You can only enter by grace. It is so narrow that God has to change your heart. It is so narrow that you want to obey him. Without transformation, my friend, I don't guarantee, I will not guarantee anybody that they know the Lord. You know why? Look at what Jesus says as he finished this lesson. Please, everybody read. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. Now, many will go to heaven, but not everyone. But everybody read, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So the test of salvation is obedience. You cannot separate obedience from salvation. They go together. Grace and obedience, they go together. I'm not saying you will never make a mistake, you will never sin. What I'm saying is your life is characterized by obedience. That's how you are. It does not mean you will never lose your temper. However, when you lose your temper, you know that's wrong, and you say, Lord Jesus, I know that is wrong. I will follow you. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, cast out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles. Do you know this? How narrow is the way? Just by your mouth, it does not guarantee you. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, I call this the greatest disappointment a man can ever have. The greatest tragedy that you can ever have is someday, as you stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, you know, you kept saying my name. This guy can even perform miracles. This guy can even talk about Jesus. This guy can even cast out demons. And you know what Jesus says? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These guys are living double life. Preaching on Sunday. But Monday to Saturday, you practice lawlessness. Friends, that statement, I never knew you. Notice the grammar. The word new comes from the word sexual intimacy. Jesus is saying, we never had any relationship. You don't really know me. All you have is religion. And that's why your life does not change. What happened to Mark? He felt so bad. When you're a child of God and you commit sin, I guarantee you something. You will feel so bad. You will lose your joy. You will lose your happiness. And you will want to change. I've gone through that. When I disobeyed the Lord, I lost my joy. I said, Lord, I don't want this life. What about you? If you can sin and enjoy sin and don't feel bad and you don't feel you want to change, something is wrong. So as we close, what's the message today? What's the message today? Be sure of your salvation. Are you sure? Are you sure today where you'll go? After you die, where will you be? You know, I'm reminded of the story of Einstein. How many of you have heard of Albert Einstein? Einstein, okay? The great mathematician scientist who was partly responsible for that amazing formula. E is equal to mc squared. That's where the atomic bomb theory came from. Well, he finished from Princeton in his teaching and he was taking a train. And the conductor came to him. This was given, but the story was shared by Billy Graham. And the conductor was waiting for him to get a ticket. So, you know, Einstein began to look for the ticket. And the conductor said, sir, that's okay. I know who you are. You are Dr. Einstein. No problem. I know you have a ticket. Don't worry. So the conductor went to the next person, you know, stamped the ticket. And when he looked back, he saw Einstein on the floor, crawling, looking for the ticket. So he went back. Sir, sir, I told you already. We know you. Don't look for the ticket. He said, I know you know me. I know who I am, but I don't know where I am going. Friends, Dr. Billy Graham said, one day, you will hear me that I'm dead. I know who I am, and I know where I am going. Do you know where you are going? Do not be deceived by others, and do not deceive yourself. Jesus tells us, everybody read, I am the door, very narrow. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Have you entered that door? Some of you have admired. You have looked at the door. You like Jesus, but you have never surrendered your life to him. You have never repented of your pride, of your sinfulness. You don't want to give up your sin. You cannot do that. The way is so narrow. You must give up. That's called repentance. And the Bible tells us the test of somebody knowing Jesus is very simple. Jesus tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, intimacy, and they follow me. You follow Jesus? If you don't follow Jesus, don't deceive yourself. I don't know whether you are following Jesus or not, but today can be the beginning of your entire life. You come to Jesus and tell him, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I need you. Look at his promise. And I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You can be sure today that you have eternal life. You can be sure of your salvation because it is Jesus who is going to keep you. Hallelujah! It is he who will keep you. But have you entered through Jesus? Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, you are not sure, but today you want to be sure of your salvation, I'm going to pray for you. Raise your hands. You want to be sure of your eternal destiny. Raise your hands. This is so crucial. You have given, probably in your past, you think you're a Christian, but there's no evidence. But today you want to surrender your life. You want to be sure. Raise your hands higher. In fact, you know what? I want you to do something between you and the Lord. You want to be sure. Stand up. Praise God. Stand up. Stand up. Do not resist the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand up and surrender your life to Jesus because you want to be sure. You want to admit you need him. You want to admit you're a sinner. The rest of you, you can keep your heads bowed down and pray. But to those who have been touched by the Lord's love, God is saying, I love you. God is saying, I died for you. Why don't you give me your life? Today is your day. Anybody else? If God is speaking to you, do not resist him. Because today is your day of salvation. And remember, Jesus will give you the power and the desire to follow him. But you must understand, the gate is narrow. It requires repentance. There is transformation. Do not confuse grace with repentance. Repentance is part of grace. Anybody else? Praise God. Now, those of you who are standing up, you pray this prayer with me. Something like this. Lord Jesus, I am not sure of my eternal destiny. I am not sure of my salvation. Today, I want to enter the narrow gate. Lord Jesus, I enter through you. You and you alone. Come into my life. You and you alone, Lord. Be my master. Be my savior. Help me from this day onward to have a genuine desire to follow you. Help me not just to have a genuine desire, but the power to do what is pleasing to you because I need you, Jesus. I receive your gift of forgiveness. I receive your gift of eternal life. Help me to share this good news with others during this Christmas, that Christmas is about your love for us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.